Everybody, perfect. All right. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Extraordinary Genocide Council meeting on the 28th of May 2019. Would you please acknowledge your name when I call it out? Thank you very much. Pam Little.
Here.
Maxima Zoba.
Here.
Ruben Skul. I see Rubens in the Zoom room. Keith Drazik.
Here.
Thank you, Rubens. Keith
Thanks.
Drazik.
Here.
Thank you. Darcy Sadwell.
Here, Natalie. Thank you.
Thank you. Michaela Nalen.
Here.
Carlos Gutierrez. I did see Carlos in the Zoom room. Marie Petullo.
Yeah, thanks, Natalie.
Thank you. Scott McCormick.
Here.
Thank you. Paul McGrady.
Here.
Thank you. Philippe Foucault.
Here.
Rafik Damak.
Here.
Thank you. Elsa Sadi. Elsa said she might
Here,
be having...
but my mic is a bit unlimited. Thanks,
All right,
Natalie.
Perfect. Arsene Tungali.
I'm here for you. Thank you.
Thank you. Philippe Pétion.
Here.
Osvaldo Navoa.
Here. Thank you, Natalie.
Thank you. Tatiana Tropina.
Here. Thank you.
Thank you. Martin Silva Valente.
Here, present.
Thank you. And we received apologies from Aidan Fedelin. Syed Ismail Shah.
Here.
Cheryl Anganor.
Here, Natalie. Thank you.
Thank you. Erica Mann. I don't see Erica in the Zoom room. We'll circle back to her. Yulf Helsingius.
Here, Natalie. Fortunately, I'm here finally. Thank you.
Thank you, Yulf. Martin Simon, who I don't see in the Zoom room either. We'll circle back to him. So from staff, we have on the call David Olive, Marika Koenig, Steve Chan, Mary Wong, Julie Hedlund, Caitlin Turbigan. We have apologies from Emily Barabas, Barry Cobb, Errol Liang, Sarah Kaplis, Terry Agnew, myself, Natalie Peregrine. I'd like to remind you all to please remember to state your names before speaking for recording purposes. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Keith.
Thank you very much, Natalie. Hi, everybody. This is Keith Drazik. Welcome to the extraordinary GNSO Council call of the 28th of May, 2019. I will pause now momentarily to ask if there are any updates to statements of interest, and then we'll review the agenda. So any SOI updates? Okay, seeing no hands and hearing no voices, the review of our agenda, agenda item 1.3, we essentially have two substantive issues on our agenda today. I think as most of you know, we scheduled this extraordinary meeting of the GNSO Council in light of the ICANN board's decision and resolutions regarding the EPDP phase one recommendations that were communicated to us just prior to our previous regular meeting of the council, where we had quite a full agenda and we really didn't have time to either digest or to address the board's action and the communication, the letter that we received from Shireen outlining the board's actions related to EPDP phase one. So we scheduled this meeting originally to deal entirely with that topic, and I'll speak more about that in a moment. But in the intervening week and a half, we had a preparatory meeting with the GAC, the GAC leadership, and the GNSO Council leadership had a conversation and then some follow-up communication in preparation for Marrakesh. And one of the topics, not to anyone's surprise, is the topic of IGO protections and the council's action back in April regarding recommendations 1 through 4 and recommendation 5. The reason this is on our agenda today is we have received a written communication from Manal, the GAC chair, asking for feedback from us as the GNSO Council by the end of this week as to whether we, the Council, are willing to engage in and enter into a facilitated dialogue with the GAC and presumably the ICANN board over the issues of recommendation 1 through 4 and recommendation 5. So we need to talk about that today. And by the end of this week, we need to get back to the GAC with our views and our positioning. So we need some time to speak to that. And again, I'll just set the stage here on topic number one, the EPDP recommendations, and then we can get into the substance. I noted that in the chat, Rubens is, he may have an AOB item. Rubens, feel free to go ahead and type that into chat, and if we can get to it, we will. But back to agenda item, item number two on the agenda, it's the EPDP on the temp spec. So I think as everybody understands, the ICANN board in its resolution regarding the recommendations forwarded by council accepted in full 27 of the 29 recommendations, and then the remaining two accepted portions, but then have effectively referred portions of two recommendations, that's recommendation 1 purpose 2 and recommendation 12, back to the council. In the letter that we received from Shireen as ICANN board chair, there was the letter and also an attached scorecard, or essentially the documentation with the rationale and the justification for the reason the board chose not to accept portions of 2 of the 29 recommendations. With the board not accepting everything, there has been a board GNSO council consultation, bylaw mandated consultation process initiated. There's no current timeline or time frame within which this consultation has to be concluded, but I think it's expected that we will act expeditiously and that we will engage with the board to engage in any conversation that the council feels like we need to have on the topic. I think at this point, with the action being in the council's hands, there's probably an opportunity and a need for us to reach out to the EPDP team and to engage the EPDP team, as well as to prepare ourselves through our own internal deliberations at council as to how we intend to go back to engage with the board. I do want to just take one note here and make it very clear that we as council with this are in a bit of uncharted territory in that this has not been a situation council has considered or had to deal with before. It is provided for in the bylaws. In other words, the ICANN board has the ability to not accept all recommendations if they find that it's not in the public interest or not in the interest of ICANN, and to provide a rationale, which is what they've done. But because we are in relatively new territory, we will be setting precedent with how we address and respond to the situation. So I just want us all to recognize that we are sort of in precedent setting mode here, and we need to take our responsibilities as council seriously in that regard. I'm going to stop there and let me see if anybody has their hand up. I don't see any hands at this point. Michele, I see your hand. Okay, over to you.
Thanks, Steve. Michele, for the record. I suppose in terms of timelines for any kind of back and forth between us and the board, I'm just trying to work out how on earth that's going to play out. Because, I mean, we've only got a couple of weeks before we're all in Marrakesh or heading towards Marrakesh. So I'm just trying to understand how that would work. I mean, let's just say coming off this call, we agree that we're going to have some kind of interaction with the board. Like, what would the timeline be for that? I mean, do you have any indication from staff or anybody else?
So thanks, Michele. This is Keith again for the transcript. So I think the answer is it's open at this point. There is some flexibility built into the language in the bylaw provision. Marika has put something into chat here, I'm just noticing, as well related to that question. So, Michele, my view on this is our first opportunity as council to discuss this issue. And I think that's what we're looking to do right now is for council to discuss, for councilors to flag any concerns or any issues they might see, and to really just begin the conversation here amongst ourselves. And then probably have a follow-on conversation with the board when we get to Marrakesh without necessarily having it be expected to conclude there. I think if we find that there are concerns or issues that need to be flagged, then we should, that we should make sure that we flag those early and often. But I think at this stage, there's no deadline or anything imposed upon us. And I think we need to go through the process of reviewing process that was followed and to try to figure out how we want to structure our next engagement with the board on the topic. Paul, I see your hand. Go ahead.
Thanks. Paul McGrady for the record. So I guess my question is about what happens in the meantime, right? So just because the council's engaged in some sort of conversation with the board, that doesn't stop what the board did for moving forward, right? So we can talk to the board until everybody feels like we've talked to them enough. I don't know, frankly, at this point, whether or not there's much to talk about what they did, but assuming that there is, that doesn't mean phase two is held up, right?
Thanks, Paul. This is Keith. So my view of that is that no, phase two is not held up. And just to recap for everybody that may not have been following it super closely, the portions of two recommendations that were not accepted by the board, number one was recommendation one, purpose two, which as it was self-described in the EPDP phase one final report was placeholder language and that there was an expectation that more work would likely need to be done during phase two on that recommendation. So the board has basically said, noting that it's placeholder language and noting that there has been subsequent communication from the European Commission or the data protection authorities, that this is still open for further work, they decided to defer that one. And then the other one is a portion of recommendation 12 that basically says related to the collection and validation of data associated with the organization field that registrars are able to either redact or delete the data. And the board simply said, we're okay with this recommendation as far as redaction is concerned, but we don't want you to delete the data until such time we've had the opportunity to go through and review the impacts of these recommendations on other existing consensus policies and procedures. And I'm paraphrasing here, but that's essentially what the board chose to do. And so those are the two things that are not accepted. And Paul, to answer your question directly, I personally don't see how either one of those obstructs the work of the EPDP phase two. I think that it actually, at least the first one that I described, sort of puts the ball back in the court of the EPDP phase two for further work. So I'll pause there. Michele, back over to you.
Thanks, Michele. I think the answer in some respects to the question is quite nuanced because EPDP phase two is meant to be dealing with issues that weren't addressed in phase one, and the certain ones that are obviously more important than others, et cetera, et cetera. And the group has already started that work, but it's not simply a question of taking the board action and running with it because we have to do something with what the board has done. But I mean, essentially, they've thrown two things back to us, and then we have to decide how we want to handle them, which means that could mean referring them back to the EPDP group, or it could mean us sticking our toes in and getting into some kind of weird depth match with the board. At least that's what I've understood from the email you sent earlier. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Michele. And if anybody else would like to get in queue, please put up your hand. This is why we're here, and these are the discussions that we need to have. So Rubens, I'll get to you just one moment. And I'll just ask, you know, Marika, you know, feel free to weigh in on any of this. Mary, feel free to weigh in on any of this if you like, to help us all understand sort of what the process and procedure is here. So Rubens and then Pam.
Thanks, Keith. Rubens Kiel, Registry Stakeholder Group. One thing that concerns our stakeholder group is that what board is keeps the practice of continued and regular use of extraordinary measures, which started with time spec, including technical study group discussions with regulatory bodies on their own without including affected parties. And one thing in particular that we might want to look at is that the bylaws do not explicitly authorize the board to selectively adopt EPDP recommendations. It's actually quite the opposite, that it doesn't support such selective adoption. And in particular, it seems to prohibit editing of individual recommendations, which was happened with recommendation 12, where they didn't reject it all, they rejected parts of it. So in fact, we might be still under a temp spec, because the board should either have punted everything back to us to address their concerns, which seem to be substantive legitimate, but from a procedural standpoint, I don't think that what's in the temp spec is enforceable anymore, exactly due to this failure of board to follow the bylaws. So one of the first things we might want to discuss with the board is the procedural issue and see if these procedural concerns are applicable or not. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Rubens. So without opining on the view that the board is not able to be selective in its approval or acceptance of recommendations, because I'd need to look into that, the temporary specification itself expired, right? So it's over and done with, aside from the fact that there is this bridging mechanism that is now in place for contracted parties to either implement the new policy or to continue essentially living by the parameters of the temporary specification. But I think the point about the temp spec not being enforceable at this point is that the temp spec itself went away on the 20th or 21st of May, as I understand it. And I will have to defer any substantive view on the question of, you know, was the board's action and being selective in terms of what it accepted and what it did not accept, you know, provided for in the bylaws or not. It may not be explicitly provided for or allowed for be explicit, but it may not be prohibited either. Something that we should look into, though, to your point. So Pam, I've got you next. Rubens, I think that's an old hand now. You're welcome to get back in queue if you like, but let's go to Pam and then Maxime.
Thank you, Keith. Pam Little speaking for the record. Looking at the possible next steps document sent to the council, so we basically have three options. One is to accept board's non-adoption. The other one is affirm the original recommendation. And the third one is more interesting, which is modifying the original recommendation. In order for the council to consider all these options, including the third one, which is to modify the original recommendation, and I guess this would only concern mostly about recommendation 12, because recommendation 1, purpose 2, was really on a placeholder. So I guess it's less controversial if we accept, or if the council accepts, board's non-adoption. So this leaves us with recommendation 12. How do we deal with recommendation 12 in relation to board's partial adoption or partial non-adoption. And if we are to consider referring it to the EPDP team, sorry, if we could to consider modifying the original recommendation, including maybe referring it to the EPDP team, I was just wondering whether we should have a conversation with the EPDP team or representative of the EPDP team to get their thoughts on this particular recommendation, given the board has given the rationale about why they didn't adopt the deletion of the org field. Thank you.
Thanks, Pam, and thanks for, this is Keith again. Thanks for sort of laying it out in terms of what the options are and the possible paths forward. And I think, you know, if it's a question of the, I think regardless, the council probably needs to go back to the EPDP team to, you know, better, or at least to ask the question of, does the EPDP team have a view that it would like to share with council? And I think that, you know, from a council perspective, you know, I don't think we're in a position of substantively changing recommendations ourselves unilaterally. I think we would need to basically be, you know, approving a recommendation or a supplemental recommendation or something that was, you know, coming from the EPDP team. So sorry, let me get back to the queue here. So I think you raised some questions. I think, as you noted, the because of the placeholder language around recommendation one, purpose two, perhaps not controversial on a substantive level. And then, as you noted, recommendation 12 is the one that basically says, registrars, you can redact, but you can't yet delete until such time that the implementation process reviews other existing policies and procedures to fully understand the impact of, you know, deleting that data. And I'm paraphrasing there. So next in queue, I think, Maxime, you are next. Go ahead.
Maxime Alzoba, for the record. I have a question about the board resolution and levels of support for the resolution. I wonder if it's possible to have an action item to get the level of support for the bits of resolution, because for EPDP, some items require, yeah, more than 2/3 of board members voting. Thanks.
Thanks, Maxime. This is Keith. So was that just so I understood the question, was that asking for us to request from ICANN staff and ICANN board support what the thresholds were for the board's voting? Did I have that right?
Yes, the levels of voting. How many members voted for which bit? Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Maxime. We'll take that as an action item and circle back with staff. I'm sure that the thresholds were met, whatever they were, but we can certainly check to see if those are available or public or whatnot. Would anybody else like to get in queue? I know there's been some activity in the chat box, but feel free to speak up and ask any questions. I think, you know, this is our opportunity for, you know, each of us as counselors to flag any concerns or questions that we have so far that we've received from our stakeholder groups and constituencies, if any. Thanks to the CPH colleagues for bringing up some points. But if anybody else would like to, you know, to jump in with any concerns or questions. I guess one question I have is, you know, again, acknowledging and recognizing that this is this is a bit untested and that we're in some uncharted territory. It is provided for in the bylaws by my read, and now it's just a question of how are we going to deal with it and how are we going to address it. And the question I keep asking myself is, you know, when we talk about, you know, portions of recommendations not being accepted, is to ask the question, would we be better off if they'd rejected the entire thing? In other words, the entire recommendation rather than a portion of the recommendation 12, for example. That's just a question I have in the back of my mind. Marie, I saw your hand go up.
Yeah, I did, Keith, but I'm not sure it's the right point in the discussion. But anyway, I'll go for it anyway. This is Marie, for the record. There's some discussion about talking with the EPDP team and, of course, in the chat about speaking with our constituencies and stakeholder groups. Would fully agree with both of those. I mean, that's obvious. And like many of you, of course, we have been talking with our colleagues in the BC. One thought that we might want to play into this is that on the less controversial one, on purpose two, it may also be worth us advocating that the board talks with European DPAs, because if that goes back to the EPDP, we're going to keep this circle going round and round and round. But on the purpose, we know that the DPAs have requested certain specific language to be tightened. So it might be better for the board and for ORC to discuss with the DPAs about that, so that we have something solid on which to discuss rather than just keep the hamster on the treadmill. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Marie. This is Keith again. So I know that, or my understanding is that ICANN.org is continuing to talk with the commission with a goal towards speaking eventually with the Data Protection Board or DPAs. If that hasn't happened already, and that there was a letter sent by Joran to the EPDP team as it was entering phase two, basically offering and asking for engagement from the EPDP team with ORG as it works towards trying to clarify some of the outstanding questions. And so I think that conversation, you know, was initiated by Joran during phase one. I believe it's continuing. By all accounts, it's continuing. If you look at the letter that Joran sent to the EPDP team, and Yanis, on behalf of the EPDP team, responded essentially confirming the team's interest in working with ORG to craft and to make sure that the questions posed to the commission and the data protection authorities are appropriate and right-sized and, you know, properly focused on the work that the EPDP team is doing, or that the work that the TSG did, and to try to make sure that the right questions are being asked. So I agree that there is a need for that engagement to continue, and I think the EPDP team, is the right place for the community to be providing input into those questions and into those conversations. So Marie, that's my initial reaction. I don't know if that addressed fully your question. Feel free to come back in if you like, and if anybody else would like to get in queue, please do so. And I noted that, Paul McGrady in chat said we should ask if everybody is unhappy with what the board did, and if so, whether or not we envision it's possible for us to reach a unified position on what to do about it. So I'm just reviewing chat. Michaeli, go ahead.
Thanks, Michaeli, for the record. Just to answer Paul McGrady's question, I mean, I think the question itself is a little bit too simplistic, because if us being unhappy with what the board did is one thing, us being incensed enough to cause major ructions is another question entirely. So I think to answer the question about whether we're happy with what the board did not, I know that from the registrar side, I don't think we're particularly happy with it. I'm not sure that we are willing to make this into a massive deal or not. I think we have certain questions, and I think that's part of what this dialogue should be about. But from a pure kind of process philosophical perspective, obviously we're not happy, no.
Thanks, Michaeli. This is Keith again, and there's still ongoing discussion in chat. And so I think on this one, I think we all need to be cognizant of, as I said at the outset, precedents being set and procedure being followed. And I think that, even if we were all fully, comfortable with, the substantive decision that was made, if we have process concerns, then there, I think it's fully within the right of council to flag those and to put a marker down. without necessarily having to, you know, fight the fight to overturn something that on substance seems perfectly reasonable. But again, it's not clear to me that we actually have process concerns or procedural concerns that aren't provided for in the bylaws. I mean, the board, and again, we can ask staff to help us sort of drill down on this and get the right language so we can all read it and compare it. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, the bylaws, the new bylaws, provide for the board to be able to not accept recommendations or a recommendation and to justify it. And then that's essentially what has triggered this consultation process. And, you know, we need to find the right path forward. So let me stop there. Flip, I see your hand. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Keith. Flip Pétillon here. I was just wondering whether we have a full picture of the reasons that made the board take this decision.
Okay, thank you, Flip. I'll respond, and I think I know that in the attachment to the board letter that we received from Shireen, which I have in front of me here, the letter was dated the 15th of May. There was a scorecard attached. I'm not sure if everybody's had a chance to review that, but essentially a scorecard that provided the rationales. And so whether that's a full picture or if there's more context, then perhaps that's an opportunity for a conversation with the ICANN board if we feel like that's not sufficient or substantively complete. But I do know that they did go through, I think a fairly extensive thought process and documented a bunch of that. And so specifically, I will respond by saying my understanding, based on the review of the scorecard and conversations, is that recommendation one, purpose two, was identified by the EPDP team itself as a placeholder. And then there was subsequent, after the EPDP team concluded its work and the council approved the recommendations, there was further communication from the European Commission on that subject that raised questions, sufficient questions in the minds of the board, that they thought it was prudent not to accept that recommendation and to instead return it to the EPDP team, as was acknowledged in the reference to it being placeholder language in phase one. In as far as the second of the issue, recommendation 12, I think there was, again, in going through the collection and validation of data, registrant data related to the organization field, the question was, you know, the decision that was recommended by the EPDP team was that registrars would be able to redact or delete that data if it was not validated or verified by the registrant. The board, I guess, in noting that the deletion of data without a proper review of other impacted policies and procedures would be potentially irreversible, and therefore they wanted to be cautious about it, that they wanted to allow the community to review the other impacted policies and procedures before making a decision that couldn't be fixed if something was found to be wrong. So again, I'm just very high level paraphrasing, but that's my understanding of the rationale. But if there are further questions, then we should certainly take the opportunity to ask those questions of the board. So in queue, I've got Rafiq, and then Flip is back in queue. So Rafiq, over to you.
Hey, thanks, Keith. So I think, the expectation from having the consultation is really to understand more about the rationale. For now, we have just the letter. I'm not sure how much is convincing or that's giving enough context. Maybe we can have rounds of meetings, or we can start maybe asking the question, is really to know more and get details. I can say that, and that was mentioned already, that the EPDP team is interested to know how it can get engaged in the process and how much, whatever we decide or this consultation will impact its work. So something we need to agree on. I'm not sure what's the right format for this, but something maybe we can explore different ways. Does that, for example, we need? Do we need, for example, a meeting between the council and the APDP team, and so on? I have one issue. Is that I can understand, for example, that like regarding the purpose two, that was triggered by the letter from the European Commission, but it's kind of, I'm not that convinced, because I think on this kind of matter, it's more to hear from the DBA, but not from European Commission. I don't think they have the same mission or remit on this matter. So I'm kind of not that convinced that European Commission letter can be able to trigger the board to make such decision. But this is still, I think, open for debate. On the other hand, like for recommendation number 12, I'm really concerned that we ask it, and we did our best to have a board liaison. And so I'm wondering here why, if there was some concern that was not shared during the deliberation of the EPDP team. I'm trying to recall, but I don't think there was any specific concern shared at the time through the board liaison that this might be an issue for the board. So that would have avoided in many aspects to have this kind of decision. I understand that we say it's a placeholder, and there was expectation that the APDP team to continue the deliberation, but rejection is quite a nuclear option. So I think that maybe this is a question also to the board, why that was not shared at earlier stage.
Thanks, Rafiq. And I think, you know, you've outlined a couple of instances where, you know, the council could come up with some questions, both potentially of the EPDP team, but also of the board. And in some other instances, we don't have to necessarily ask a question, but we could flag our concern about perhaps the lack of comment or commentary by the board liaisons on a particular topic, you know, that sort of might have avoided the situation. So, you know, I guess in what I've heard so far, and I know Flip, you're in queue next, what I've heard so far is that the council, perhaps as a next step, might come together and work on developing a list of questions, comments, and concerns. You know, maybe three categories, maybe they're overlapping, I don't know. But the idea is to, you know, put down a marker with the council's views and incorporating, I think this is important, incorporating any thoughts or feedback or input from the EPDP team, because they were the policy making group whose recommendations the council approved. And so on that point, Rafiq made a good point about the possibility of the council and the EPDP team interacting, and maybe in Marrakesh there's an opportunity for some of that. In the interim, I have been invited by Yanis to join the EPDP team's meeting on Thursday, to essentially provide a 5-minute update, or maybe 10 minutes or so, following our call today, and to basically have that initial point of engagement with the EPDP team, and certainly recognizing Rafiq as the liaison. I think that was in reaction to the thought of, you know, is it even possible to have the EPDP team and the GNSO Council meet as a group before or even during Marrakesh? And it's not clear that that's something that we can pull off. I thought I should note that. Philippe, over to you.
Thank you very much, Keith. Philippe Pétillon here. I would very much encourage a dialogue, and I would propose that we think of two things before engaging into a dialogue. First is to try to understand the position of the board and try to understand the context that led the board to take this decision. I think, and that's only a suggestion, I think that one of the important points is the discussions that, for example, Joran has had with the European representatives, with DPA representatives, and it would be good to get some clarification about that. Actually, some of us have suggested that these talks would not be conducted on their own, but it would have been good to be assisted by representatives of supporting organizations or other, but that was waved away. And so now is the time for them to explain. The second thing that I would suggest that we think about is, what do we want when we want to engage in a dialogue? Do we want to discuss? Do we want to debate? Or do we want to argue? I think we should very carefully think of this before engaging in a dialogue. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Flip. I think you're right on all three points. You know, the context for the board's decision, better visibility into the conversations between Joran and the commission and any DPAs, and then have, to your third point, discuss, debate, or argue, have a clear understanding or agreed to expectation as to what we want out of the engagement. And again, I think maybe going through the process of developing what I suggested earlier about questions, comments, and concerns might help us frame that discussion, ask for the clarification and the transparency and the things that you've identified here in terms of context and, you know, what were the details of some of those conversations, if they can be shared. And then, you know, to frame the discussion in a constructive way. At least that's my hope. So Flip, thank you very much. Pam, you're next.
Thank you, Keith. Pam Little speaking. I agree with Flip, what Flip was saying about be careful about our approach, what we want to get out of our conversation with the board. But in order for the council to make an informed decision about our approach, I feel it is really important that we, the whole council, have a good understanding from the EPDP team as a whole about their thoughts on particularly recommendation 12. I believe or understand that last week during the EPDP's regular meeting, one of the ICANN board members or board liaison, Chris Disband, did brief the or give an explanation to the EPDP team about the board's thinking in partially adopting or rejecting those two recommendations. And Keith, you mentioned you were invited by Yanis to go to join the EPDP team meeting this Thursday. That's all well and good, but I think the board recommendations or the board resolution is out there. Everybody is aware of what these two recommendations are and what the board has given as rationale, as you outline, as you mentioned in the scorecard. So I'm not really sure what can be achieved in your interaction with the EPDP team. I would have thought the interaction really needs to be the other way around, where the EPDP team is giving the council that input as to what their thoughts are about the best approach, because the EPDP team obviously to me is closer to those policy issues than the council. So I feel as a council member, I would really greatly appreciate some feedback and thoughts from the EPDP team before we move on to decide our approach with the proposed board consultation. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Pam. This is Keith again. So yeah, just to react, so two things. One, the Yanis invited me to participate in the Thursday call with basically the goal of helping to report out on the conversations that we're having today. because there are questions I think that the EPDP team has. Obviously, we're discussing this for the first time today, and that it was really just an opportunity for an update. It was not intended to be me in any way instructing the EPDP to do anything, because I think that's something that we as council need to figure out how we're going to approach. On the second point, I agree with you completely. I think that the EPDP team is the group that is closer to this on a substantive level, and that we as council should be, you know, doing everything we can to get the input from the EPDP team on these issues. And that's one of the reasons I suggested coming up with, you know, the list of questions, comments, and concerns. That's not only for the board, I think that's for the EPDP team as well, and specifically maybe some of those questions. So I hope that helps. But Pam, I understand and I agree with your general point that, you know, that the EPDP team is substantively closer to all of this. And you know, we should be asking them, did they see any issues or concerns with regard to the board's decision as it relates to their ability to get their future work done? So let me stop there. Anybody else want to get in queue? I'm scrolling over to chat here. Okay, Rafiq, over to you. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Keys. Just kind of follow up to your comment and also Pam's comment. So I think with regard to EPDP team, yes, I think we should ask them about the concerns. There was clearly an interest since the resolution was published, and the desire to get engaged in one way or another. So I guess we can work out that and probably start first with asking them specific question, because at the same time I got that request and I shared it in the council list. It's really, from the EPDP team, and it's really about understanding how the impact of the consultation and kind of what are the next steps, because we have this process starting. So it's kind of, I think, in both directions, there is some expectation for guidance from the council. So we have, I think, the kind of board and the board resolution specific kind of request asking the EPDP team. So the question for us, are we just going to pass them or not? But anyway, so I guess good start is to have those questions to the EPDP team. But I guess still we have also to figure out how we will kind of manage this process to be efficient, since it's kind of now it will be three party, and how we can do it in the way to not derail the EPDP team from its current work, since now we are as it was shared in the council list, we have now we started to think about the next steps for phase two. And so I guess one thing we can start to think about is, maybe do we need to have some rough timeline and how we deal with this to not impact the current work of the EPDP team.
Thanks very much, Rafiq. And you make a really good point about, you know, we need to make sure that this process doesn't interfere with the ongoing work of EPDP phase two. It's probably a reasonable question for us as council to ask the EPDP team, you know, are either of these two issues potentially going to negatively impact your work or your timeframes? And so, yeah, I think it's a really important thing. And I guess the way I'm looking at this, the more we discuss it, is, you know, that we as the community, the policymaking community, and that's the EPDP team, you know, all of our constituencies and stakeholder groups and the council, should make sure that we're aligned to the extent possible on our views going into any sort of formal consultation with the board. And that doesn't mean that we can't ask questions before that. Doesn't mean that I think we actually could and should pose questions or, you know, make ask for clarification, as Flip noted. But At the end of the day, I sort of feel like, you know, we have some work to do among council and among our stakeholder groups and the EPDP team to sort of make sure that we're in as, you know, much aligned place as possible. And then we, you know, sort of begin the more formal conversations with the board that are outlined in the process and the procedure. So I guess my feeling on this one is that I think we need to be deliberate. I think we need to be judicious. We have to recognize that there is precedent being set as to how we would deal with a situation like this. And I think if we're deliberate and judicious in our approach, that once we get to the end with the board, we'll be in a place that we're all much more comfortable with, because clearly there's a lot of questions right now as to how to proceed. So would anybody else like to get into Q? And if not, Marika, I'm gonna ask if there's anything, any words of wisdom you'd like to share with us as far as, you know, your view or staff's view about sort of possible paths forward. Thank you for putting together the document you did. Is there anything that I missed in terms of our conversation today that you feel like, you know, others, you know, would benefit from? Okay, Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Keith. This is Marika. I think you all captured it very well. Yeah, as you know, that, you know, there is some flexibility with regards to, you know, the details of you know, how the council goes about, you know, consulting maybe with others, it's dialogue with the board. And I think, as you noted as well, you know, this may potentially set a precedent. So I think it's important for the council to think well through approach it wants to take, as, you know, it may set an example for how, you know, future similar processes might have to be dealt with. So it may be worth, I think, several suggestions have been made on you know, possible next steps. So it may be worth working those out in further detail, also potentially with a possible timeline associated to that. And that may help move forward, you know, the conversation, but also set expectations on the side, I think, of the EPDP, as well as the board, with, you know, expected next steps and timing. And of course, staff stands ready to assist with that as needed.
Very good. Thank you so much, Marika. Would anybody else like to get in queue on this topic? If not, we will move on. I will just take 30 seconds to sort of summarize and say, I think we need to put together an action plan. I think council and council leadership working with staff need to put together an action plan for our engagement with the EPDP team and eventually with the board to identify questions, comments, concerns that we have. And again, the questions could be directed to both the EPDP team and the board, and to basically inform our deliberations about how we plan to move forward on the topic, recognizing the precedent-setting nature of some of our actions and the board's actions, and that you know, that we need to be deliberate in how we approach it. And as Rafiq noted, we need to make sure that we're not introducing uncertainty, just distraction or delay into the EPDP team that has its work cut out for it on the phase two UAM work. So with that, anybody want to get in queue before we move on? We might actually be picking up 5 minutes here. Okay, I'm not seeing any other hands, so let's move on to our agenda item number three, substantive item number two, which is a council discussion on next steps related to IGO-INGO curative rights. As I noted at the outset, I'll just summarize again where we are. As everybody knows, we approved the recommendations 1 through 4 in April, in our April 18th meeting from this, and then referred or deferred recommendation number 5 for further work and rechartering within the RPM PDP working group, with the idea of creating a small, dedicated, focused subteam under the auspices of the RPM redrafted charter to basically focus on this issue with a goal towards driving towards a conclusion that that the IGOs, the GAC, and the members of the group could live with. And so, as we all know, the approval of recommendations 1 through 4 was not consistent with or in opposition to previous and longstanding GAC advice, and that, not surprisingly, the GAC is continuing to want to discuss recommendations 1 through 4 with the GNSO Council and with the board, In the letter that we received from the GAC chair last week, there is an explicit request for a facilitated dialogue with, among GNSO Council, GAC, and interested parties among the GAC and the ICANN board. The specific request of us is to respond to the GAC by the end of this week, indicating whether we as GNSO Council are prepared to engage or enter into a facilitated dialogue with the GAC and the ICANN board, and you know, whether that's something that we're prepared to do. So I'll just put a period there and then remind everybody that during the preparatory call that we had for Marrakesh between the council leadership and the GAC leadership, we made clear that the recommendations 1 through 4 were approved by the GNSO Council, and they are currently with the board for action. And so we, you know, basically said if we wanted to have an ongoing conversation in Marrakesh with the GAC and the IGOs, but we preferred that it focus on looking ahead to the rechartering of recommendation number 5 under the RPM group and trying to ensure that that small group, that small dedicated and focused team would be able to address the issues, would have participation of the IGOs, and that you know, we were really looking, wanting to look ahead. But the letter that we received subsequently is essentially asking for us to engage through facilitated dialogue, GAC board and council to, I think what their view is, what their hope is, that we would reopen or be prepared to discuss recommendations 1 through 4 again. So let me pause there. And on this topic, I will turn probably early and often to Mary Wong for any additional support or help in terms of context and background. But let me just stop here and see if anybody has any comments or questions at this stage.
Keith, this is Carlos. I'm on the bridge only, I'm afraid.
Okay. No problem, Carlos. Go right ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. I think when we took the resolution, we focused mostly on the PDP team, and probably the message that the GAC got was a little bit scary for them. So I really look forward to make a better explanation what we mean with the small group, and if the small group is going to be limited by the recommendation number 5 alone, or if there is option to look at different alternatives. I have repeatedly mentioned that we have the precedent of solving similar issues with a restricted list, and Mary last call confirmed that there was on record a list of IGOs that could be used as a restricted list. So going forward, I really support the idea of engaging with the GAC and presenting a chance to engage and not limiting the next step to recommendation number 5 only. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Carlos. And would anybody else like to get in queue here? Rafiq, over to you. And then I've got Marie.
Okay, thanks, Keith. So I think maybe we need to try to understand or how to interpret what the GAC is looking for here. So I mean, I think, and this is also my feeling from the beginning, is they don't want to really to talk about process, and I think they made that clear last time. And it's about the substance, and this is concerning me a lot. It's because what we need to think about the setup or the setting of any meeting now with the GAC on the matter. We are the council, the manager of the PDP or policy, we are not supposed to get into the substance and try to negotiate, like, for example, with the GAC on recommendation. I don't think that's the point. And this is kind of, I'm not going to say setting the precedent, but we need to be careful here. So the reality is, as it was said, the recommendation 1-4 was already approved and sent to the board. We cannot do anything here. Trying to discuss or try to make any action now, it doesn't make sense. For recommendation number 5, we had that decision that we can work on it within RPM with a different way or mechanism. And so we can offer the opportunity to the GAC. They can engage. We know that they are not happy, and they are still want to kind of, that's always my thing here, they want to negotiate. And I will find it's really problematic here to do so, because it's not just IGO and NGO that can rise in future for other PDP, and we don't want to jeopardize our PDP in that manner. We have a process that we ask working groups to deliver us policy recommendation, and we want like any other group like the GAC to engage at every stage. I know that we had a lot of discussion about the concern about the engagement and about the working group and so on, but we need to think beyond that and how that will impact any other PDP in the future. Saying that, so I guess we can accept, we accepted to have the meeting with the GAC. I don't think we need at this stage any facilitated dialogue. I mean, it means involving the board, because the board is supposed now to make a decision or action on recommendation number 1 and 4. So I don't think they should be involved now based on the agenda that we are expecting from the GAC, which is related to the substance. I think we can maybe explore that later on, depending of what the board will decide, recommendation number 1 and 4. I do believe that we need as council to kind of manage our own processes here till the end. We are looking forward to hear from the different group their concerns, but we... Okay.
we can hear you fine, Rafiq. Yeah, we can hear you fine. Go right ahead.
Avoid a situation like we are going into negotiation and so on. I'm sorry for taking too long, but I want really to emphasize this.
Thanks, Rafiq. And if everybody can mute your lines if you're not speaking, we were getting a little bit of feedback there. Rafiq, so thank you for that. And I agree. I think we're on the same page there that, you know, the council, and I tried to communicate this, however effectively, during the meeting that we had early last week with the GAC leadership, is that in our view, the council has approved recommendations 1-4, and they are currently with the board for action. And of course, you know, among us, we know that it's up to the board now to take that action. Presumably, the board could ask questions or ask for further conversation, but essentially right now the action and the decision is with the board, and we're not in a situation or a position to reopen the decision that was made at this time. I think we do want to engage, and I committed that we, the council, or a subset of council or members of the GNSO, would engage with the GAC in Marrakesh on the topic of IGO protections. And ideally focusing on looking ahead to recommendation 5, you know, the rechartered RPM PDP working group. I think, as Carlos noted, maybe there's an opportunity for conversation there. I don't know if it has to do specifically with the list but basically trying to find a path forward that will involve the IGOs and other members of the GAC in the discussions in a PDP under a PDP 3.0 construct that's focused on the issue and that will deliver something that is more palatable today to the IGOs than what they've got, but still follows the PDP process and tries to bring this ongoing process and challenge to a conclusion. And so I really do think that ongoing conversation and dialogue is important. I think some folks in chat have said the same thing. But at this stage, I think we just need to recognize that we're not going in there to negotiate about the recommendations that we have forwarded to the board. It's really now with the board to make a decision. And frankly, if the board rejects those recommendations and gives us rationale to do so, then we're back at square one and we start over with a fresh group and, you know, we'll figure it out from there. But at this point, the action is with the board. So looking ahead, and Maria, I'll get to you right shortly. So looking ahead, I think we, you know, we have the opportunity for a dialogue in Marrakesh. I think that dialogue will inform what we want to do next in terms of, you know, helping to move forward the RPM PDP working group rechartering to incorporate this issue. And at that point, if there's some sort of, you know, facilitated dialogue, whether it's, you know, with the board or with, you know, somebody else, like, for example, a Bruce Tonkin or even a Heather Forrest, folks who have a lot of experience on the issue that can help us map out the path forward, then maybe that's something we ought to consider. But I think we're not quite there yet in terms of making that decision. So, Marie, over to you.
Thanks, Keith. Just to pick up on your last point, having somebody like Heather there, I would really support. I think that's a great idea because of her knowledge in this and her knowledge of procedure. On the pure procedural basis, I think we have to remember that we have reached out to the GAC, not just on this specific dossier, but we have talked about having early engagement with them on matters going forward. We knew that the GAC had the opposite view here. So I would really support us being calm, speaking with them, fully agree with the small group, fully agree with not going in with the entire GAC in the room and all of the GNSO in the room. But we do have to realize that we knew this was coming. I don't think any of us are surprised by this. And as a practical point for taking this forward, and this does include the future, this does include recommendation five, I think meeting with, saying, yes, we are happy to meet with you. Yes, we're happy for this to be facilitated. Let's find common ground and let's take this forward. To me, that's just logical. And your idea of Heather, yeah, great idea, great idea.
Thanks very much, Marie. Anybody else like to get in queue? I know there's some activity going on in chat. Feel free to speak up. Anyone else? So I'll note, Marie, you're absolutely right that you know, we knew that the GAC was not going to be happy with the vote that we took on recommendations one through four. You know, it was not consistent with GAC advice previously and long held. I think one of the reasons they're a bit confused or upset is because they had requested this so-called facilitated dialogue prior to our vote, I think back in January, you know, and we ended up not engaging in the facilitated dialogue with the board at that time. We knew that we had a tough decision to make and we did the best we could. So I think that there's some further context there and why we need to be sensitive and, you know, we need to be willing to dialogue and talk, but understanding Rafiq's point, you know, this is not something where the council is procedurally in a position at this stage to sort of negotiate on substance or to negotiate the actions now with the board. So Maxime, over to you.
Maxime Malzuba, for the record, I have a naive question. Who and when is going to draft the amendment for the RPM PDP charter? Thanks.
So, thanks, Maxime. It's a good question. And I know that we had discussed that during our last call. And I know that there were several folks who volunteered to help contribute to that. And I think it's important to note there's really two components of that work, I think. There is looking at the current RPM group and looking ahead to phase two and figuring out where do we need to apply the PDP 3.0 recommendations and reforms to make, you know, to help improve, you know, the efficiency and effectiveness of the RPM group as a whole going into phase two. And then there's a separate portion of the work that is focused on developing the parameters for this small dedicated team to look at IGO protections under the auspices of the broader RPM group. So I know that we've had some volunteers. I think there's also been some concerns raised about bandwidth and timing. I personally think that in order to engage with the GAC and show that we're working in good faith, that this is maybe more urgent than others might, and based on the actual timing of the RPM group and all of that, wouldn't otherwise warrant it. But that's my personal view. So the answer, Maxime, as quickly as I can to your question, is that we've had some volunteers, but the work hasn't started yet. I think we need to, try to get that moving, at least on one or both of the fronts. But that's essentially up to council to, make sure people volunteer and that we get to work. Okay, would anybody else like to get in queue? Cheryl, I see you've typed into chat. You're welcome to speak up as well, if you like. If not, no worries. Okay. All right, so I'm not seeing any other hands. Mary, any words of wisdom for us at this point?
Thanks, Keith. Hi, everybody. It's Mary from staff. I think that you've described the situation very clearly, and councillors have expressed their views on behalf of their constituencies. So just to note that obviously any background materials that you and the council may need going forward, we're happy to continue to provide from the staff end. Secondly, as you noted, to the extent that there is any discussion with the GAC at Marrakesh and beyond that could involve a number of various folks with knowledge of the issue, not necessarily just councillors. And thirdly, to Maxime's question, as you noted, there are two possible tracks of work, and how that progresses, the speed at which it progresses, where you end up with rechartering the RPMs and carving out this piece for a work track or however you end up, could depend on what it is that you and the GAC discuss when you do meet. Thanks, Keith.
Thanks, Mary. And I'm going to come back to you here in a moment and ask you if you could just spend 5 minutes, if that's even possible, on describing some of the other dependencies around these issues that are sort of sitting with the board and, awaiting the conclusion of the work so it can be dealt with as a package. But hold on 1 second. So prepare your thoughts on that. And I want to respond to Philippe's question in chat that says, does the rechartering entirely dependent on the board's vote as it relates to the other recommendations 1 through 4? And so, Philippe, I think it's a good question, and it's actually, I think if the board were to reject 1 through 4, I think that could have an impact on the chartering of the subgroup in the RPM rechartering process. But it probably wouldn't have any impact on the redrafting of the charter for the overall group if we wanted to get started with the PDP 3.0 issues and reforms. But that's probably one that's worth digging into a little bit more. And Mary may have further views on that as well. So Paul, I see your hand up, and then Pam, and then I'll come back to Mary.
Thanks. This is Paul McGrady for the record. I just wanted to verbally offer to lead the redrafting effort for the PDP charter with this issue in mind. I know we took it as an action item, but I don't know if it's needing a chair to gather the other volunteers and kick it off. I'm happy to do that if that would be helpful. And to the extent that we have a small team meet with the GAC on this issue, I'm happy to participate in that. I think it would make sense if I'm going to be involved in the rechartering effort and as the council liaison to this particular PDP, I think it makes sense for me to be involved. I'm happy to be involved with the small team as well. Whoever goes to listen to the GAC, I think it makes sense for me to be along. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Paul. I completely agree. I couldn't agree more. So thank you for being willing to serve in such a capacity, and very welcome. Pam, over to you.
Thank you, Keith. Pam Little for the record. If I may, I want to make 2 points. One is going back to Philippe's question about whether the rechartering is entirely independent from the board's vote. I seem to recall that the referral of recommendation 5, the language was to really ask this to be formed new group to relook at the recommendation 5 issue, which is the jurisdictional immunity issue, but to develop develop policy recommendation to address the issue, but generally in a way that is generally consistent with the recommendations 1 to 4 that were approved by the council. And I think that language, it was deliberate in that if we didn't have that language to sort of kind of set some kind of parameters for this new group, when they deal with recommendation 5, it would seem to render those recommendations 1 to 4 meaningless. So therefore, I personally think it is really, it seemed to make sense that we hold off the rechartering until we know what the board decides or has decided what they are going to do with recommendation 1 to 4. So I think it is actually interdependent, because otherwise it would really change how these the chartering exercise. The other point I want to make is about back to this proposed meeting with AGAC. So I completely agree with the take that Rafiq had from the council leadership meeting with the GAG leadership about a week ago. My impression from that conversation is that the GAG really wasn't interested in talking about or understanding council process or procedural issues. The language they used was to find solution-oriented or to have a solution-oriented conversation or something along that line. So I just want to make sure that from the registrar stakeholders' perspective, we seem to feel that this is not something that our stakeholder group has a huge interest or concern about, but we have spent enormous amount of time, the council as a whole, on this particular issue. It's most unfortunate. And certainly if we are talking about PDP 3.0 and improve efficiency and effectiveness, certainly this is kind of like the lesson learned, not just only how not to work in a PDP, but also at the council level, we haven't managed this PDP well, and even in the ensuing deliberations, we took a long time to make a decision. And once we made a decision, this now, as Keith, you have said earlier, this action is now with the ICANN board. So we should really wait and see what the ICANN board does with our recommendations. And so with that, I hope I'm speaking, and my RRSG colleagues would agree with me, that we are not objecting to a discussion with the board, or either in a small setting as some councillors seem to prefer. So that seemed to make sense, but definitely we feel that a so-called board facilitated dialogue is not appropriate at this point. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you, Pam. I think that was all very well stated. So I think, let me just take a crack at sort of summarizing where I think we are on this. And I think we're all in agreement that, you know, at this point, 1 through 4 is with the board. We're happy to talk and continue to engage with the GAC, looking ahead to number 5 and rechartering and whatever comes out, you know, once the board makes its decision. But the action item before us this week is I need to respond to Manal, right? We as the council need to respond to the GAC, to the formal letter that was sent. And so what I propose to do is to draft a letter that would be sent before Friday or on Friday, which is the date that they asked for it, after, you know, full council review, that basically, you know, sort of provides a very brief rationale as to why we approved 1 through 4 and the fact that it is now with the board. Right, put that marker down right up front that says we're reconfirming the council's view that the ICANN board is now responsible for dealing with recommendations 1 through 4. The council and the GNSO is looking forward to focusing on dealing with the IGO protections issue moving ahead in recommendation 5 with the RPM group. To note then that it is premature in ICANN 65 at Marrakesh to have a board facilitated discussion. And then that's not to say we couldn't, and this is just an aside, this is not to say we couldn't invite board members to be participating or to participate in the meeting that we have with the GAC in Marrakesh, right? I mean, so there's still the opportunity for engagement, but not something that would be considered a formal facilitated dialogue, right? I think it would make sense for us as council to follow up with the board to ask them their current views or their latest thinking, and that's probably a topic of conversation for our council board meeting in Marrakesh, is to ask them for an update on their thinking on this topic, specifically recommendations 1 through 4. And then I think we should probably not communicate it now, but to say, you know, amongst ourselves that we shouldn't write off the possibility of some sort of further dialogue or facilitated dialogue, perhaps with somebody like a Heather Forrest or a Bruce Tonkin who have experience in this, to try to help us work through issues, depending on how the board acts and depending on how we decide that we need to charter the focus sub-team within the RPM group. So those are sort of my high level takeaways from the conversation. But again, I think most important, everything I'm hearing today, is that nobody wants to reopen 1 through 4, at least until such time the board takes its action. And I think that's a common position. So let me stop there. Any comments, corrections, anything that I missed? All right, so I'll take the action item to draft that, working with staff to get that out to the list for review, and then to make sure that we can send that back to the GAC by Friday, which helps everybody understand what Marrakesh might look like. So with that, Mary, can I turn back to you? And on the topic of sort of like the other issues and dependencies that the board is looking at, and I know that there are obviously concerns for registries and contracted parties about the ability to release or use some of these names. I'm just wondering if you could help the council and all of us understand, you know, what some of those dependencies might be.
Thanks, Keith. Hi, everyone. It's Mary again. I can try. And for some of you, this might be repeating the obvious. For others, hopefully it's helpful revision and summary. So, as you know, right now, when you talk about recommendations 1 through 4 and recommendation 5, it really is all about curative rights, meaning dispute resolution after the fact. In other words, someone's registered a domain name, what do you do? What are the appropriate dispute resolution mechanisms? There was a prior PDP, as you may recall, that concluded its work in 2013 that dealt with what has come to be called preventative protections. And that includes things that they discussed, like a sunrise registration period, which was not recommended ultimately, a notice like the claims notification service that applies to trademark owners, and whether that should be on a longer term basis or whether it should be for a shorter period like the 90 days for trademarks. That group also discussed early on and discarded the idea of reservations of IGO acronyms, for example. So those are examples of the preventative protections. As you may recall, in late 2013, the council approved the consensus recommendations from that group that went up to the board. The board indicated, and here I'm going to cut a long story short, that it wanted to consider the question of IGO protections in a holistic way, meaning that in the board's view, ideally, if it can consider both the preventative aspect as well as the curative aspect at around the same time, that would be the most appropriate and best solution. In the meantime, as you may also recall, there was conflicting GAC advice with some of that earlier GNSO PDP's recommendations. So what the board did was it adopted those of the GNSO's recommendations that were not inconsistent and not conflicting with the GAC advice. And that led ultimately to implementation work, which, as you all know, especially those with the contracted parties, we now have a consensus policy that's permanent that applies to IGO names, not acronyms. So that's kind of the background. And the ultimate summary here, and I'll pause and I'll stop with that, is that there are still outstanding items from that previous work that relate to certain aspects of preventative protections for IGOs. The board has not indicated that it feels differently from what it said before, which is that ideally it would like to act on those as well as the curative rights issues at around the same time, meaning that to the extent that work on what is now recommendation 5 that you're referring to the RPM group, the longer that takes, then the likelihood is that that will further postpone the final resolution of all of the issues pertaining to IGOs, both preventative and curative. In relation to that, and in relation and coming back to the recommendation 5 issue and chartering the RPM PDP, including this work track that you've discussed, that does have an impact on the timing, right? How long you take to do that, what the final charter looks like, getting all that buy-in. But the other point that staff would like to emphasize is that regardless of the history and the reasons and beliefs, it is likely to be essential that some IGO input and participation in that effort, however that turns out, what that looks like and when you start it, will be ideal as well, so that you can go forward into that holistic conclusion, hopefully. So Keith, that's hopefully a wrap up that works for you. And as always, we're happy to provide additional information.
Thanks very much, Mary. This is Keith. I really do appreciate that summary of a very complex history and situation, but I think everybody, we all need to remember, while we're not going to reopen the discussions of one through four at this point, that it is with the board, that this is just a small part. It's obviously complex and complicated and has become somewhat convoluted, but it's a small part of a bigger picture. And at the end of the day, the protection of IGOs and for the IGOs and for the GAC to feel like this multi-stakeholder model and this consensus policy development process is working for them, I really do feel like we need to demonstrate progress around this particular issue or this broad set of issues. So as we deliberate and as we figure out how to move forward, I just ask everybody to keep that in the back of your mind, is that this is in the eyes of some, and particularly the IGOs, but the GAC more broadly, I think this is a really important topic that we need to be sensitive about. We're doing our best under the circumstances right now, but I'm just sort of laying that out there as we look ahead to next steps over the coming months and potentially years. So, Mary, thank you very much for that. I'm going to ask now for any final comments or questions. And Marika or Natalie or anybody from staff, you're welcome to jump in. Feel free to weigh in. I'm going to try to get us out of here on time, which is within the next minute. Any final thoughts, any questions, any comments? So a couple of action items for me. Rubens, did you have an AOB?
I did, but I don't think we have enough time for it.
All right, I do apologize. Feel free to take it to the list. All right, thanks everybody. I've got a couple of action items to get back to the list with some draft letters and communication, and a summary will follow. So thanks everybody, have a great rest of your day. And thanks in particular to those of you who are either up early or late. Have a great rest of your day. We can wrap up the call.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.
Once again, the meeting has adjourned. Thank you very much for joining, and please remember to disconnect all remaining lines. Have a wonderful day.